Mark, what, Mark?
What, Fausto?
Will you stop doing that? Wait, you got to stop playing with those gloves.
I'll put it down.
Put down the paper. Stop making noise with your hands. Okay. We're about to tape a show.
Okay.
So, we have a very special...
Can I comb my hair?
Yes. You better look good. She may not be able to see you, but she can hear you.
I think they know when we're podcasting in our underwear.
They do?
I think they do know. I think the audience knows which day.
I don't think
naked.
So at all. You know, but we have a very special guest today. She may not be one of the 50 most powerful gays or lesbians.
But she is a lesbian.
Yes, of course. Her name is Liz Winstead.
Right. And she wants you to join her lesbian movement.
I like that. Did you just come up with that?
No, it's on her MySpace.
Oh, really? Yeah, she actually, you may not be instantly recognizable her name, but you know the fruits of her labor.
Yes.
Because she's the mind that launched 1,000 ships. She's the creator or the co-creator of The Daily Show on Comedy Central.
Right.
But now she's sort of like taken the internet to interest to her heart. Mm-hmm. Her MySpace page has all these fabulous movies of her stand-up act, and she's going to be in Chicago on my birthday.
Which is April 16th.
Yes.
Happy birthday, baby.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be turning 29 years
what
old.
What do you want for your birthday?
I want people to comment on our website.
Aww.
That's really what I want.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
How about they support the show?
That would be fabulous. How can they do that?
They can do that by visiting feastoffools.net. You can make a donation right there, or you can buy a t-shirt. As a way of us saying thank you for your donation.
You know, and the t-shirt not only, it cures cancer by making you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And laughter always, you know, nothing that it's a funny cancer. Looking shirt. You know, it's right. A very attractive. It also cures ugliness, which is a disease.
Yes, and we're fighting our war on ugly.
And we're going to win, people.
Damn it.
So get yourself a Feast of Fools t-shirt. Mm-hmm. You look good in it. You fight on two fronts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, also expand your conscious mind.
Yes.
Because we're an uncommon voice for an uncommon community.
Indeed.
I thought was really interesting. I don't want to sort of give it away, but why don't we give it away?
Give a little bit away.
Liz Winstead talking about podcasting.
I know.
As being more exciting than television. This is a television producer.
Right.
Commenting on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, should we hear a little sound?
Let's hear a little bit.
I think, quite frankly, that TV is stale. And they're always behind the eight ball. And, I think podcasting and everything on the web and all this stuff is so much more innovative. The stuff that's coming out of it, the conversations they're having, what's going on, it's so much funnier. You know, you can upload crud in a day. What I'm really excited about is, like, the fact that, like, all these 527s, which are these people that fund these political ads, like the Swift Boaters and all that crap, they're private-funded, like, political hacks, are all going to get put out of business because you can do any kind of political ad you want and throw it up on the web like that guy did.
With, Hillary Clinton as big
what?
Brother.
Yeah, and frankly, liberals are much more creative and funny than right-wingers. And so my hope is that they will be really coming up with some really funny, political ads that are going to be just sprayed all over the internet in the general election.
Just keep talking. Are you gonna fly to me? Are you gonna keep on walking? Is it just the way you feel? You can never seem to notice when it's somebody else's spiel. Gonna be the one, I'll be so hopeless. I'm gonna be so sweet. I'm gonna give me power. I'm gonna become just like why you.
You're listening to what may be the most important podcast ever, Feast of Fools. On today's show, we'll be talking to the fabulous comedian, producer, and cultural commentator, Liz Winstead. As a television producer, Liz Winstead created the award-winning news program, The Daily Show, on Comedy Central as a response to CNN's paradigm-shifting coverage of the war in Iraq.
As a performer, Liz brought her political wit to the radio waves, co-hosting Unfiltered on Air America. Liz joins us from her apartment in New York City to talk about her career, her comedy, the Bush administration, and the controversially delicious chocolate Jesus. If you live in the Chicagoland area, join us as we go see Liz Winstead in person on Tax Day, April 16th at Zany's in the Old Town neighborhood of downtown Chicago.
It's also my birthday.
Yes, it is, and pony up the presents, folks.
Visit our website, feastoffools.net, to get tickets to see the show. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion, and you're listening listening to the music from Rachel Sage's album, The Blistering Sun, available through our website, feastoffools.net. Stay tuned.
Dot nut? Get your mind out of the gutter.
I mean dot net. Feastoffools.net. Friend, would you treat me so unkindly? If I wasn't she, who would? Then would you climb this tree so blindly? Recognition, gonna be so sweet. Gonna give me power. Gonna become just like a wild flower.
Hello.
Hi, Liz. It's Fausto.
And Mark from the Feast of Fools podcast.
Hi, guys. Hey, do you want me to call you right back and undo my call waiting thing?
Well, we have to undo it, too.
Oh, my God. What a kerfuffle. Well, I just want an answer.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
If it comes in, I'll just finish my thought and then stop for a sec talking so that you would have an edit point.
Let's just say that it's your agent calling.
You know, it is someone glamorous, certainly.
Or just, it's Craig Kilborn trying to apologize to you after all these years.
Guess what that call never came, oddly enough. Never came in. No one calling to say I'm sorry.
Well, Liz, welcome to the show.
Hey, you guys, I'm so happy to do it.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. What are you doing? Where are you right now?
Right now, you mean in my apartment? I'm in New York City, sitting at my dining room table.
And it's a glamorous palace, reminiscent of the film Dreamgirls.
Honey, it is a palace. Let me tell you.
Is your dog Eddie or Edie?
My dog is Edie, named after the Beals.
Okay.
The Gardens.
Okay.
Now, why did they make your dog in the little cartoon that they use on the Huffington Post of you?
Yeah.
Your dog is looking a little bit drag queenish.
Honey, of course my dog is looking. My dog is named after Edie Beal.
But, I mean, it's like, is that sort of like an intentional thing to say, like, your dog is gay? Or?
Well, you know what? It's very odd about my dog because my dog, oddly enough that you would say that, has taken to recently humping, and she's a girl and she's spayed, this giant bolster pillow that I have. She will incessantly hump it and only take breaks to drink water and go back to humping the bolster.
Wow.
So maybe she is a big lesbo. I don't know.
I think you need to take her for a walk or something. You need to distract her.
That's what I've tried to do, literally. And she'll go outside, and then when she comes back in, she runs right for the bolster
and
again.
It's the same pillow?
It's the same pillow.
You know, you should burn it right in front of her and see what she...
You know what I should. Well, I put it in a closet, and she barks at the closet.
Now, She's in love.
It's a day after Easter.
It's a day after Easter.
It is, and Easter came and went, and the chocolate Jesus got locked away, safe from offending people everywhere.
Well, you know, the chocolate Jesus, here's what I've never understood about the problem, is that you can have Mother Teresa in a Cinnabon, Virgin Mary in a tortilla, but apparently Jesus out of chocolate.
But I think they showed his penis. That's what I think the idea was, is why it was so offensive
to people.
Yeah,
that was the deal breaker, Liz.
But you know, let me tell you what. My guess is if you are from a society where they're brutally nailing people to trees back then, I'm not sure he really had on a little something. You know, we don't know. Mel Gibson wasn't actually filming that day, much to everyone's surprise.
Yeah, I never got to see that movie. Did they actually show his crotch?
No, of course not.
Have you seen the remake? They have it on YouTube where it's the Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, but it's sped up with the Benny Hill theme song. It's hysterical. It's hysterical.
That is amazing.
Now, Liz, you grew up in Minnesota as a Catholic. So this, you have a personal relationship with Jesus. And early on, as a child, you were kind of like a child feminist because you were questioning the church on why couldn't you be an altar girl.
I know, and they wouldn't. And you know what they told me?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's called altar boy.
And that was their final response.
And I was like, well, you know, that seems easily fixable.
So you cut your hair and you basically pulled a Yentl,
a
Catholic style. Yeah.
Much to my mother's chagrin, the first thing I did was I shredded my Catholic schoolgirl uniform so it was like a hula skirt.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. I went to Catholic school, so I know what that means. That's powerful.
They were so unhappy. And you know what? Here's what's not that fun. Wool shredded like that and rubbing against your legs is sort of worse than just like a big pleat of wool, because then you've got the swooshing, and so the chafing got a little intense. Then I petitioned my priest and tried to petition the archdiocese, with which my mother, of course, was completely mortified. And, you know, and then, you know, that seemed like small potatoes 5 years later when she, you know, caught me having sex coming home from vacation and a little early.
So Madonna went in one direction. Now she lives in England and is worshiping the Kabbalah. And you live in New York City and you're not with the Kabbalah. Why did your paths separate? Because you're both Midwestern Catholic girls.
Isn't that funny? Our ships passed in the night.
They did.
I know. You know, I don't know why. I think we were probably fighting over the same, you know, vintage belt someplace in New York.
Any consideration, like, designing clothes for H&M yourself? Or?
You know what? I haven't. I was thinking of designing clothes maybe for, I don't know. I don't know who would be right for me.
I think maybe like Marshalls.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think of Marshalls?
Something on layaway that you can put your clothes on layaway. That's usually a good, appropriate clothes for a comedian.
Or so, maybe Spiegel. Yeah.
Spiegel.
Doing the Spiegel catalog.
That's a bit preppy.
Is that
though.
Even around anymore, though?
Yeah. I you know, actually, I worked as a one time I designed windows for them.
You did?
I did, for like a weekend.
You mean there was a Spiegel store?
There's a Spiegel, like, complex, a compound in the suburbs of Chicago.
Really?
I think it is Spiegel. Mm-hmm. And they paid me, like, I don't know, some ridiculous amount of money to paint a wall green and to put, basically, you know, one of those Pier 1 things with the clothes. And it was one of those little set, fantasy sets.
Nice.
So when you go into the corporate headquarters, it's like, what are some of the, like, unusual gigs that you've had? Because you've always not been a superstar in the television and radio world.
You know, I've had some crazy, in fact, the one thing I just finished doing, which was sort of fun, and then I'll get to my other more demons, because I did the whole relaunch for the Grey Gardens play on Broadway. Mm-hmm. I helped redesign and do all of the new like catchphrases and buzzwords for Grey Gardens. So it's going to be plastered
tell us
all
a little,
over Manhattan.
Tell us a little bit about Grey Gardens, because a lot of our listeners are through. They come from throughout the world, so
they might not be
aware of it.
They're like, Grey Garden?
Grey Garden? What is Grey Garden?
what is that?
Grey Gardens is something everyone needs to know about, especially, in fact, I would have to say your listeners would have to have any kind of gay and gay-friendly cards revoked if they don't know. But I'm just putting that out there. It was first a documentary that was made based on Jackie O's aunt and the aunt's daughter, so her aunt and cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the dark, scandalous, seamy underbelly of the Bouvier clan. Mm-hmm. And they lived in this 28-room house in the Hamptons. And they let the house... Can I swear?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Cuss away.
They let the house turn to shit. The house fell apart. It was infested by rats and fleas and rodents, and they fed them. And they lived in one room of the house, this mother-daughter duo. And the daughter never left and lived with this crazy old mother, and she would wear, like, skirts and towels on her head for turbans and fix them with a pin. And they would eat from a hot plate in the bedroom. And they would boil corn and eat cat food out of a can and call it pate.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, so Jackie Kennedy came in, of course, mortified. And she was Jackie and S at the time. Redid the house because it was just an eyesore. The city of East Hampton condemned it. And... there's a documentary made all about this that starts at the second deterioration of the mansion.
And you guys have turned it into a musical?
I did not turn it into anything. Broadway producers turned it, I wish I would have. So then they took it to Broadway, and it's now a musical on Broadway, and now it's going, after that, it's going to become a feature film with Jessica Lange and, Drew Barrymore.
Wow.
And what are some of the slogans you came up with to promote this
monstrosity,
I guess.
The play was like scandalous, and it was in the paper. So the whole promotion campaign for it looks like it looks like the New York Post or one of those big tabloid papers. And it says things like a mansion, two crazy women, and 100 cats. The musical.
Wow.
You know, what's wrong with snacking on a little cat food in your bathing suit? Grey Gardens, the musical. So it's going to be, it's really, everyone should, the play is amazing. And the documentary is great. It's if you have a trip to New York, Christy Nebersall stars as the daughter. And it's like classic. It's a must see.
So you're really excited to be part of this, then?
I am. It's very fun. It's much more glamorous than, oh, say, previous jobs I've had, like working at the Red Barn, which is sort of like the D-list McDonald's that was like the
franchise
in Minneapolis.
Yes, that's old school. I don't think they even have those anymore, do they, the Red Barn?
No, they don't. And, you know, we'll never take another job that requires a hat or a smock.
And the Whaler, I think, was their fish sandwich.
The Whaler
was the fish sandwich, yes.
Are you from Minnesota?
I'm not, but, you know, my parents are from the Twin Cities, so I spent my summers in Minnesota. We'd go up to Breezy Point and stay with my grandma.
Pelican Lake.
Yes, on Pelican Lake.
Great, Marge.
I actually have two Aunt Marges.
Oh, you do not?
I do,
oh,
yes.
Great. You know, I just love that. That is so fabulous. You know, I love that accent, too, because whenever I go back home, Minnesotans are classic
yes.
for this, like, mm-hmm. backhanded compliment thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll say things like, gosh, you know, I like your hair longer. It makes your neck look less muscular.
it's like,
thank you.
You know what's wonderful, too, is, like, imitating their accent, and they don't get that you're imitating it until about 5 minutes in and they're like, are you making fun of the way I talk? And you're just like, yes.
Now, why do Minnesotans actually talk that way? Because as a Puerto Rican myself, I came to the America and I thought there was only three accents, New York, California, and Texas.
Yeah, you know, I don't really get it either. I guess it has something to do with, because it's, you know,
is it Swedish?
Scandinavian?
Yeah, it's Scandinavian, yeah.
But I don't hear, oh, hi, Inga. Well, I guess I kind of do. Hi, Marge. Oh, yeah, right.
You know? Oh, yeah.
So I guess it's sort of there.
My mother to this day hangs up the phone. She goes, okay, fine, bye, and hangs up.
Oh,
and
my mom, too. Hi, bye-bye, no. How are you? You look real great. That's nice.
Now, Liz, you are well known for your political commentary, and both as a comedian, but also as a commentator.
I try.
You try. You're the brain, the genius, the mastermind behind The Daily Show.
Well, I'm you know, you're
the founder.
To say brains and mastermind, I like those words. I am. I actually created the Daily Show, and then I was on for the first 3 years.
And that was when you were a teenager, right?
Yes, I was 14.
Wow.
Crazy?
Not even out of high school yet.
Not even out of high school.
So what was your inspiration for coming up with The Daily Show?
Well, you know, it's so funny because, you know, I started out, my whole kind of show busy thing started out doing stand-up, and then my stand-up kind of evolved into political stand-up as I kind of figured out who I was a little bit. And then I always, it was sort of at the same time that, like, cable news just became like this 24/7 thing in our homes. And so it was like the way the news was presented was just as absurd as the news itself. You know, so it was kind of like George Bush and the war and the first Gulf War.
So the first Gulf War sort of was changed the way we see the news, and then you guys
exactly right.
started that.
Yeah, and then you kind of look at it and you go, oh, wow, you know, they're spending more money on the graphics department than they are in the research department. Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, they got all that craziness that goes on, and they got that crawl thing underneath, and then there's a big graphic, and then there's a big other thing, and there's a person talking, and then the stock market, and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to be paying attention to?
None of it.
Anesthetized.
But I'm kind of curious why you guys chose, or I don't know if you had any influence on the decision, but having somebody like Craig Kilborn, who tends to be more not politically as savvy as somebody like Jon Stewart, why was he the first choice for that, or was he the first choice?
Well, Jon Stewart was actually the first choice.
He was.
Jon was pursuing an acting career at the time. I had just come off of working on, Jon Stewart had a syndicated show.
That's
interesting. It was like a talk show that was on MTV, and then it went to syndication, and it was on late night. And I had just come off working on that, and he wanted to do a little acting in film and movies. So what happened was Madeline Smithberg, the other woman who created the show with me and I, we got all the writers, we got all the correspondents, we got, you know, everybody in place. And then Craig was from ESPN, and he was kind of this guy who was, if you're doing a satire of news, you know, because I got a lot of shit for, like, well, how come there's not more women on air? And it's like, because we're making fun of the way the news is, and the news is full of white guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted a real cliched white guy.
Exactly, real cliched white guy who you couldn't tell if he was in on it or not. And so Craig sort of fit the bill. So that's why we went with Craig.
And was Craig in on it or not?
gosh, you know, I think we should talk about something else.
But, I mean, it came to bite you in the ass, you know? So that's
kind of... Well, you know, it just came to that, like, I think that as the politics... I think Craig really wanted to do a traditional talk show, which is what he ended up doing on CBS.
Right.
And everybody else really wanted this to be this other thing. And so I think it was a good move on everybody's part for him to go and do his show on CBS and for The Daily Show to really evolve into this political machine.
Well, is there a bittersweet irony or for you to see the show be as successful as it is now today?
Or? No, I'm happy. I'm thrilled about it. You know, it just... On two levels, I'm thrilled that something smart and funny is on the air, and I'm so thrilled that I, you know, hired, you know, so many people that are on it still, you know, and I hired Stephen Colbert, and, you know, it's great. So, no, I don't, and, you know, John asked me to come back twice, and I was like, you know what, I don't know what I would do there, you know, because, like, the both of us would just be having, the same kind of ideas, and it would be a cushy, great job that would give me a lot of prestige, and who wouldn't want that? But by the same token, I just wanted to, like, kind of get that kind of voice out there in other places. So after that, I did a show on Oxygen that was sort of like Colbert meets Regis and Kelly, and those clips are actually on my MySpace page, and those are really fun, and you can see those. And that was on for like half a season until they decide they just want to do women with weapons and, I don't know.
kidnapped children.
It's a network about for women who hate other women.
Now, why do you say that?
Well, look at the shows. Janice Dickinson, complete fucking bitch. They took all of the bitchy women from every episode of The Real World and put them in a house, so it's bitch-on-bitch action. Girls Behaving Badly is just women doing fucked up things to people. So it's...
Well, maybe you should call it Cats.
Yeah, the narrative of, like, you know, we're having a lot of success with women just kind of being cunty. Okay.
Well, I mean, is that sort of, do you think that's part of our social trend? Or is that just a bad network? I mean,
I don't know. I hope it's not. I mean, I think there's something to be said for women now having enough power to say, stop doing that other woman. You're being an asshole. Rather than just having assholey women. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe. I mean, I would like to think that it's just a renegade network presenting some garbage out there, and that there's this market consumption. Because, see, Liz, this is the thing I'm thinking. It's like, we are talking already about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton because we're starved for political leadership in this country.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of jumping the gun, even though we're still stuck with President Bush right now.
Right, and you know what I feel so afraid about that is, you know, it's very reminiscent of how somebody sells a TV show in Hollywood. Like, the way Hollywood executives at TV networks keep their jobs is by never actually greenlighting a project. Because the second they greenlight a project, then their job is on the line because the show may succeed or fail. And it's the same with political candidates where they aren't really saying a whole lot about exactly what they would do. Because the second they say, this is my plan for healthcare, there's going to be people that attack it, right?
Yeah. Right.
So now we've got 18 months of them not really saying anything, and all we are is going to be exhausted by them kind of making these blanket speeches about kind of nothing and about, we need to change the way Washington works. Fuck you. Well, what does that mean?
It's like Christmas. It starts earlier and earlier every year, so that by the time Christmas comes, you're just like, I'm done.
You are so over. I know, and do you remember, Diana was in the car crash, and like and it was the same with JFK Jr. Like, this horrible tragedy happens, right?
Right.
And we're so inundated with it that 4 days later, you're like, I don't give a fuck. You know what? Stop it. And you know, we shouldn't be desensitized, but yet we got so barraged with it. Mm. Just like poor Anna Nicole.
I know.
I really wanted to care.
Well, I mean, I think that people need to escape. And, you know, certainly like the popularity of science fiction and other shows that are sort of delve into fantasy is that people need to be nurtured and need to like put their emotions into somebody else. And Anna Nicole was a great scapegoat for a lot of people not to have to think about the war in Iraq and the painful reality of that. You know?
I agree. And then at the same time made a freak show out of her.
Yeah.
That's the part that's so fucked up. Not that she wasn't a big freak show, trust me.
She did it to herself.
You know,
maybe.
That when she was just on the verge of curing cancer, her life was over. Oh, what a shame. But I mean, I think that's right. And I wish, and what's so frustrating is that I wish they would have like really cool, more cool, interesting stuff on TV and stuff for us to anesthetize ourselves with.
Well, and what do you think about the impending or the threat of invading Iran? What's up with that?
I don't think. think it's going to happen, and I think that...
Is that like a threat? Like, if you don't be nice, play nice, I'm going to invade Iran.
Well, there's if Iran was invaded, we just don't have...
Oh, there's your agent calling you.
That's right. There's my agent. I'm just not answering. If we invaded Iran, you and I would be going.
You think I'm not going?
We'd be the only ones left.
I'm gay.
Well,
I'm openly gay.
Way, so. Guess what? It'd be. You know what? We're gonna have only gays in the military.
Only gays go to Iran.
Yeah, I mean, literally, they would be raiding cabarets across the country.
Well, which is really fucked up.
Wait, before we move on, is it Iran or Iran?
Here, it's
or should
Iran,
we call the whole thing off?
It's. I say, you know what? You could call the whole thing off. I say Iran because that's what Christiane Amanpour says.
Oh, Iran.
And she's classy lady.
Classy lady.
Hey, Liz, did you know what in Iran, if you're gay, they'll pay for you to have a sex change.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that wonderful? Even if you don't want one, they'll pay for it anyway.
You're kidding.
No, it's insane.
Well, what if will they pay for nose jobs though, Mark?
No, I don't think so.
Here's the deal: they say that, but really, they're just gonna kill you. Yeah, come to this hospital, in quotes, and then we're gonna give you a sex change. You know what the sex change is called? Corpse. I'm not. Yeah. Hey, I'm out and I'm proud. I'm gonna get. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, do you remember? When the Afghanistan war happened, mm-hmm. and do you know that, I don't know if you know this or not, but on American bombs, do you know that we write messages on them?
We
yes.
do.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, we write messages.
Like, is it advertisement on it, or
kind
like?
Kind of like, it's like a fuck
Pepsi.
You thing. And so when we were nailing Afghanistan, they were dropping bombs that said, take that fag.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding. And they had to issue an apology. And I found it offensive on a couple levels.
Well, they do that kind of stuff. They like to attack people's sexuality. Like during World War II, they actually dropped extra large condoms over the country of Japan to make them feel inferior.
Well, they could just put regular size condoms.
Well,
that would be threatening enough.
Yes.
Just apology to all the Japanese listeners
kidding,
out there.
Kidding. We
We're
all
kidding.
Know you have huge cock. Everyone knows it. Every Japanese guy I've ever fucked is just a size maniac.
Well, speaking of size queens, Ann Coulter.
Star Jones. Oh.
Star Jones. Either one of them. It's like, why is Ann Coulter getting so much media attention? I mean, yeah. It's like, if I say crazy and offensive things all the time, and I can't even get arrested.
You know, it is so crazy for me with the Ann Coulter thing because, first of all, I think that she just needs to eat something.
Star Jones gotta, you know,
if she would just
hook her up.
Her blood sugar is just at some crazy low rate. If Ann Coulter's ate a couple meals, she wouldn't be so hateful. And mm-hmm. they stop giving her so much attention. I mean, who cares? She's mentally ill.
Maybe it's fun to give her attention. You know, I would love if Ann Coulter is the voice of the conservative ideology in this country.
Bring it on,
you know, because she looks like a drag queen.
She looks like a drag queen.
And she talks like one.
Drag queens have nicer figures.
Yeah, but drag queens are always like going around bars and like splashing drinks in people's faces. And metaphorically, she kind of does that too, you know.
Oh, she's very messy.
You know?
One, she's a big fucking mess, let me tell you. And that horsey hair. And you know what she is? She's that girl, and we all knew these girls. You know the tall girl in high school who wasn't quite athletic enough to be the good athlete or mm-hmm. wasn't really pretty enough to be a model? And she was just kind of tall and gawky.
Yes.
And so people kind of just thought she was prettier than she was.
Mm-hmm.
She's really a fucking ugly mouth.
She just had the signatures of beauty, like the blonde hair and blue eyes or something.
And like, these long, like getaway sticks that are kind of crazy.
Now, you go a lot on those cultural commentary shows on VH1, MTV.
Yeah, those are fun.
Now,
are they fun?
They are fun. You know, they're fun because you don't often get a chance to...
masticate.
Rifle off like short little fun things on something really specific.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part of it's really fun where they can pick like this weird single topic thing and you're like, okay, bam, bam, bam. Because I'm all over the map. On my stand-up, I talk about everything from like my aging parents and, you know, politics and pop culture and, you know, all of it. It's just, you know, I kind of run the gamut, mostly politics, but, you know, I kind of go into the zeitgeist a little bit too, so that's fun.
So what do they do? They sit you down and say, and then they say, okay, I want you to talk about, and you know, Britney Spears, for example, and then you have to, like, list 10 things? How does this work?
How they do it is they send you a bunch of the videos,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of the questions that they're thinking about asking you when it comes to that particular artist or the particular video. So then you kind of can prep a little bit and then kind of go on a riff roll about, like, they'll go, okay, the Britney Spears video, blah, 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 what do you think? Do you think it's, you know, do you think she's crazy? Do you think she is pulled together? Do you think, you know, or whatever the hell they say.
And so have there been any comments that you've made that you wish went on the air, but they said, that's going too far, Liz?
You know, sometimes I go into, like, a blind, freeform thing where I kind of don't remember what I've said.
It's a fugue state.
You go into a trance.
It's kind of a, you know, sort of this, like, scathing verbal diarrhea. And then I'm thrilled if any of it gets on. Did I say anything arable that could be, you know, live in the Viacom family of television programs? So, yeah, it seems like sometimes I'm a little bit crazy. But, no, I'm fine. You know, I haven't felt like, oh, you censored me or anything like that.
Now, do you think that sometimes that you might be offending your audience because you are saying things that they may not agree with? I mean, you're traveling to a lot of, like, venues in all parts of the country. And do you ever feel like you're at odds with your audience because you're challenging them politically?
Well, I think the good news is, because of what I've done, you know, it's not only The Daily Show, but I also founded Air America Radio, and I had a show on Air America for about, you know, 13, 14 months. And so I have when I come to town, usually it's people who think the way I do and need a catharsis. So that's the good news, is that it's not, I don't normally go to a club and it's like half full of people who are surprised that the lady with the big mouth and the big liberal ideas is on stage.
So it's not like
I have had that. But before, you know, I had the, you know, TV stuff and everything, and I was on the road. Oh my God, people would just scream out, "Cunt, shut up!" And, you know, "Fuck you, communist!" Mm-hmm. And even after 9/11, even with everything, you know, it was like, people were so afraid to say anything, and I did some shows, and it was like, oh, don't go there. And it's like, don't go where? What am I saying? That's unpatriotic.
Yeah, we had the same thing happen. I mean, how did your work, do you think it had an effect on you at the events?
I definitely do. I mean, because we had a whole bunch of shows that were maybe going to get launched that kind of fell to the wayside for like a year and a half because of Hollywood was afraid, people were afraid. You know, it was very interesting. People did not really speak out against the war and against the administration until Katrina happened. You know, there was a direct correlation between the press happening to get to New Orleans before fucking Bush. In fact, I'm not sure Bush has even gotten there yet. But
you know, it was a cutout.
And they showed it in its sort of like raw form. And I think Americans and journalists, instead of saying, like, yes, Massa Bush, we'll go down to the troops and we'll be embedded and we won't show anybody really what's going on in the war. I think when they were in New Orleans, people saw this is how the government treats Americans, and then started thinking, if this is how we treat Americans, what's really going on in Iraq? And all of a sudden, when people started asking questions and started doing real journalism and real work, all of a sudden, the tides really changed and people started seeing what was really happening. Because remember, that's when John Murtha was like, the crazy guy.
Nuts. Well, not anymore.
Exactly.
Well, I say anytime that Fats Domino's life is in danger, well, you know the country's like, you're cutting it close to home.
You're cutting it close to home. Yes, he is a legend.
Now, you know, of course, Katrina helped make people like Anderson Cooper a superstar.
By the way, can we just talk about Anderson? Okay.
Yeah, I'm bringing that up right now. I want to bring it out.
Okay, because first I have a little bone to pick with you guys. And then, because Shishi LaRue is my dear friend from Minneapolis.
Oh, he is.
Shishi got a little diss on your site.
Yes, we did. We did.
I was like, this is Shishi.
Hey, Shishi LaRue, it's like, if Shishi LaRue, why not Lady Bunny?
Well, here's why.
Why?
Because Hollywood wouldn't just take Lady Bunny's call. Sadly, it's true.
She tried to take, but they wouldn't. It was like the disease that wouldn't stick.
You know, it's really about what? Larry could bury you and Lady Bunny couldn't.
Bury you?
Wonder, like, why is a pornographer considered so
powerful,
important and powerful and influential?
I think because you got to just look at the sales.
Is that what it is? It's the money?
You know what? They attract a mass audience. And you got to know that if you're like the number one gay pornographer, you know where some bodies are buried. If people that don't want to know shit about you, you know there's people that have been at Shishi.
Oh, you know? Well, maybe now I get it.
Oh,
the bodies.
Yeah. So look at, take power as If you were to say the 50 people who could ruin your life by knowing something about you, then the list makes sense. Because what I don't understand is, when did Anderson Cooper come out?
Well, that's what I was saying. You're not on the list either.
What the hell? Huh?
You're not on the list either.
I mean, well, it's like, I'm not a lesbo.
But people might think that you are, and therefore want to put you.
I am. You know what? I'm fine with it. People can think whatever they want.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, if Jodie Foster and Anderson Cooper, who are may or may not even be gay, make it on that list, anybody can be on that list. Liz?
I know.
Hello.
Hello. And that's the part that I just think is so bizarre, and I wonder how Anderson Cooper feels about it. He's number two.
I think he's crying at home right now.
You think he's crying?
Sure he is.
And all his millions of dollars?
He's
sure,
like bathing
crying.
In gold coins.
He's just thrilled that his name's in the press getting
Well, the thing is, though, he used to go out to the gay bars. He used to, somebody told me he used to belong to like the Gay Association of Journalists and stuff. So I think after a while they just said, you know what, tone down the gay, and he did.
I know. I'm wondering if he'll ever just like show up and like he seems like a hey, guy to me, and I don't know about him. They would just all of a sudden show up at an event with his boyfriend.
Right.
And, like, here I am at my black tie thing and with my partner.
And, yeah, he but might
I
do that.
I don't know. I just
have a thing. And never come out.
Fausto and I are actually considering going back into the closet so we can actually get a career going.
What do you think about that, Liz? Is that good advice?
You know what? I think you can't put the genie back in the bottle, people.
Anderson did.
Oh, he actually did.
I mean, he met with the president of Iran, you know, and he's heads of state.
He's got Vanderbilt money.
He does have Vanderbilt money.
He's got Vanderbilt money.
Mm-hmm. I'll go rob a bank or two.
And, you know, you can't just buy some jeans with a swan on them and think you got the power.
That's true. You know, I always thought that the powerful 50 list would be better as a television program with you sitting on a couch commenting on Anderson Cooper and Jodie Foster and these people.
I couldn't agree.
Now,
you know what show we need to have on TV?
What is it?
America's Next Top Bottom. Don't you want to see America's Next Top Bottom hosted by Tyra Banks?
I think that
I
could
have before me 12 gaping bottoms.
I think Gigi LaRue could produce that as a
I think you might be right. I should pitch it around.
Pitch it to her.
Is she really your friend?
Yeah.
Now, see, this is the interesting thing. That I asked Larry or Gigi LaRue on the show, what would she ever consider putting herself into pornography? Because there's a lot of people who actually admire and respect her and are aroused by her.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, no, I would never do that. And I was like, well, okay, Shishi. Now, the kind of audience that is watching your pornography may not be aroused by seeing a plus-size transvestite go down on somebody, but there is a market for that. And the fact that you're creating pornography, why not stick yourself in front of the camera? You know, and she was like, do you think Shishi should be doing porn?
I think she's shyer than you think.
Really?
Yeah, because I've known Shishi as Shishi and as Shishi's alter ego, like regular guy walking on the street, and very shy, you know, a little bit shy. In fact, it's so funny because we were coming home for Christmas. This is like, I don't know, might have been 8 years ago, and I ran into Shishi at the Minneapolis airport. We were both coming home, and I said, hey, how are you? What have you been doing? And he goes, ugh, I just come back from filming Where the Boys Aren't 5. I'm like, I didn't know there was 1 through 4, but bless you, you're making a killing.
This is just amazing, you know, and they're almost like podcasters in the sense, like pornographers, because they have thousands and thousands of titles of your shows, you know,
right.
It's like, and Mark made some comments.
I was reading your blog on the MySpace, and you were talking about the Super Bowl thing with Prince, and you talk about the media going, duh, you moron, his guitar was a giant erect wiener for millions to see. How did you miss it? Were you listening to a podcast of the show? Now, why podcast and not radio?
Funnier? Podcast just, you know, when you say podcast, it just sounds funnier than it does radio, you know? It's just comedically funnier.
Are podcasts like seen by the big Hollywood media types like yourself? Are we seen as sort of like clumsy or?
No.
Or are we?
You kidding me?
Are we making you guys like lose sleep?
I don't know that you're making me lose sleep because I'm willing to go like to any venue that is like reaching out to people. I think quite frankly that TV is stale. And they're always behind the eight ball, and every, you know, I think podcasting and, you know, all everything on the web and all this stuff is so much more innovative. The stuff that's coming out of it, the conversations they're having, what's going on, it's so much funnier. You know, you can upload crud in a day. What I'm really excited about is, like, the fact that, like, all these 527s, which are these people that fund these political ads, like the Swift voters and all that crap, they're private-funded, like, political hacks, are all going to get put out of business because you can do any kind of political ad you want and throw it up on the web like that guy did.
With, yeah, Hillary Clinton with Hillary. As the big
what?
Brother.
Yeah, and quite frankly, liberals are much more creative and funny than right-wingers. And so my hope is that they will be really coming up with some really funny, you know, political ads that are going to be just sprayed all over the internet in the general election.
Well, because, and you're a very qualified person to talk about these things because you've done television, you've done radio. Have you been in any plans to be in film or?
I've been in a couple. I'm in a movie that's out right now, this crazy documentary called American Cannibal. But I'm just kind of like a talking head in it, like I do on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, you know, everybody says they have one film idea in them, and I'm not sure I know what mine is yet. So being in, I haven't really thought about it, actually, because I really like the immediacy of radio and of the internet and of TV, and it seems like film is such a long, laborious process from start to finish that I think that I'm too OCD. I'm good waiting around, and, you know, it just takes, you got to raise money, and I just have to take somebody's money and make something.
Well, you can take the audience's money because you're going to be in Chicago on April 16th.
I am. I'm in Chicago on April 16th at the Zanies.
Mm.
And that's in downtown Chicago.
Yes.
And it's rated R.
It's rated R, but according to the website, maybe more than R.
PG-13.
R plus.
Or no, NC-17. That's the one that they use.
It's kind of an orange alert. I'm kind of an orange alert.
Now, is it for violence and nudity or offensive language?
Actually, for violence and nudity. I have a weapon on stage.
Oh. So it's sort of like Divine used to say, who wants to die for art?
That's right. Uh-huh.
And where else are you going to perform? Because we are nationwide or international.
I will be in D.C. May 31st, the 1st and the 2nd at the Arlington Ale House.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, it's July in Boston and August in San Francisco and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, come to see Zanies. It's one night only. It'll be really fun. It'll be, like, you know, cathartic. In the world we're living in now, you know, you'll come and hear me blather on and on about things you feel frustrated about also.
Okay, well, that's Fausto's birthday, April 16th, so maybe I'll drag him down there.
Why don't you guys come?
I would love to see you.
I'll give you free tickets.
Way!
Ding, 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 ding.
All you gotta do is go to my MySpace page and send me a little message.
And I will.
And say, we're definitely coming, I'm not kidding, and then I will make arrangements for you to come.
Now, Liz, being born on April 16th, I'm very sensitive that it's the day after taxes.
Right.
And I know people are hard up for money, so they gotta save up.
Right.
Now, are you going to be doing any tax-oriented humor?
I may be doing a little bit of tax-oriented humor. Yeah.
You are, but you got to save that one.
It's the elephant in the room. Mm.
Well, it is actually, that day is tax day this year.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that it would be the 15th on Sunday. But
the Sunday.
No, you can't do the Sunday, yeah.
Right.
Don't do the day after. Oh,
are you filing an extension?
Honey, I am. Filed and in.
Oh, you already did it?
Uh-huh. I'm very
good for you. Yeah,
well, you know, I always feel like the government's out to get me because I just hate them so much and I'm constantly on them. But I'm always so nervous that I get my taxes done right away. I try not to ever, like, fuck anything up.
Well, good for you, Liz. Liz, thank you so much. We're going to do a breakdown here with you.
Breakdown.
Yes, breakdown 2007. So.
And it's 20 questions. Oh, answer them quickly. I know you can.
Okay.
But this is like, we want to tap into your subconscious.
Okay.
An intimate,
so it's like first
Liz.
Thing I think of, not about whether or not I'm smart.
Exactly. Yes. Don't try, just be, go into your subconscious. First question, what's your favorite color?
Red.
Favorite food?
French fries.
Describe yourself as a fancy shade of household paint.
I would say, Easter egg.
When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A priest.
Did you have a pet when you were a kid? What's his name and species?
Susie Black Mutt.
What's the biggest misconception people have about you?
That I'm a huge cunt.
What's your best feature of your body?
My eyes.
What turns you on?
Anyone who is trying.
If you could change one thing about you, what would it be?
I would say the amount I have to dye my hair.
What's one of the best things that's happened to you recently?
This show.
Oh, aww. Good answer. What's one of the worst things that's happened to you recently?
Having to take my dog to the vet because she got infectious diarrhea from eating poop on the street.
What should we be investing in? Any financial advice?
What should you be investing in?
Yes.
Yeah.
You should be investing in Liz Winstead tickets at Zany's.
There you go. What should April 16th, downtown Chicago. Don't forget, people. Now, Oprah, what would you like to see Oprah doing in 5 years?
Putting me on her payroll.
Okay. That's a good job.
If you could travel back in time and meet anyone, who would it be?
Jesus.
What makes you mad?
People who aren't curious.
Okay. If your vagina wrote its own monologue, what would it say?
Feed me.
You know, Bruce Valanche said the same thing. What are you obsessed with?
I'm obsessed with the world, not gaining weight after quitting smoking, and my dog Edie.
Oh. What musical instruments do you play?
Guitar.
And what's for dinner at your house?
Tonight?
Yeah.
I'm going out for dinner.
Okay. What are you planning on eating?
Meat.
Liz, what happens when we die?
We turn into perfume. Ode to Love by Yardley.
Liz Winstead, thank you so much
thank
for
you,
talking
Liz.
To
thank
us.
Thank you for having me. I think you're both fabulous.
We think the same
thank
thing about you,
Liz. You.
We're looking forward to seeing you on Monday.
Please come. I'm not kidding you. Free tickets are coming
okay.
your way.
Wonderful.
Okay.
We're there.
We love you.
Thanks, guys. Love you.
Bye, Liz.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So Liz Winstead is going to be in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
coming in from New York City. That's going to be the day after taxes, April the 16th.
It's a Monday.
That's a Monday. It's a week from today. Whoa.
She calling us back?
I think...
What happened?
I don't know. It was like I meant to drop the phone call, but...
Oh.
I guess it didn't drop. Anyway, she's going to be at Zany's in Chicago on April 16th, and that is rated R. I don't know quite whether for
nudity
violence
and violence,
nudity.
She said.
Yes.
Yeah, she's got a weapon on stage.
So probably good advice to actually wear some ammunition
yes.
protection. Or
and don't buy it from the United States Army. Get it, you know, from someplace else.
One of those
else.
Chinese
get the good
vendors,
stuff.
Yeah.
The Chinese vendors.
What is that called? When the
Kevlar.
What about the stuff that protects you? A bulletproof
vest.
Vest,
yes.
I was like, you want one of them thingies that get the bullets out of your body.
My friend Joey used to have, he had a designer bulletproof vest, but you didn't put the bullet stuff in there. You
just it doesn't?
No, it was a designer one from, God, when was it? That would have been like 98, 97 or 98. It was fun. So the Feast of Fools is brought to you by listeners like you. Without your support, we really couldn't do this show. So please visit feastoffools.net and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt. You'll look good in a Feast of Fools t-shirt. You know you will. And, you know, take a picture of yourself in it and send it to us and we'll put it up on the Flickr.
We have a special, for those of you who are diehard fans,
mm-hmm.
we have a little special treat for you. Go to
yes.
TNG, that's The Next Generation,
TNG.
The letters, tng.feastoffools.net.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, it's sort of like a very low budget,
mm-hmm.
very bare bones MySpace page for you, the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start pimping out your stuff. If you got a blog, if you're a stand-up comedian, a musician,
mm-hmm.
anything that you create that people can consume online or you want to know about you, you can go to our website because we're about building, we're an uncommon voice for an uncommon community.
Mm-hmm. We certainly
really
are.
Uncommon.
So yeah, go and check it out. And our voicemail line, we're having some problems with. So, you know, leave it alone until we figure out what we're going to do with it. Because it seems that it's cutting off the message after about 20 seconds. So we get, hi, my name's Cliff Dix. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. And I just want to say that I love... And then it cuts off.
Yeah, it's like, hi.
We're gonna work on that and try and fix that and see what's happening.
Liz was absolutely mm-hmm. delightful.
And Fausto's birthday is April 16th. If you guys want to send cards or anything, send it to
no candy,
Feast
no
of
chocolate.
Fools at 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640-2113.
I don't think I got that.
I'll say it again.
Yeah, let's hear it again.
Although this is real time, so what do you call it? Time shifted, so they can actually go back if they want to.
5315
North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640-2113. Because really, the show wouldn't happen without my man over
there. That's me.
Controlling the dials. So if you want to send iPods, if you want to send Cartier.
I'm going to sing along with Rachel Sage, and you can sing along with her music by buying it through our website, feastoffools.net, on the featured music link. That's Rachel Sage. This is the Burning Witch from her album, The Blistering Sun. She's fabulous. She's adorable. And she's a fabulous lesbian.
Yes, she is. What else?
I'm kind of, you know, I'd really like, if the world was full with more people like Liz Winstead, we'd be all right.
We're going to have to change that Shishi LaRue thing now.
No, I still stand by it.
I don't want to end up dead and buried under a football field goal.
So that's why they put, now
where
you know why Shishi
are.
LaRue is one of the most 50 powerful people, because she'll hurt you.
Shout out to you, Shishi.
Yes, please don't hurt me.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Mm-hmm. Fearlessly be yourself. If you think you're fine, might as well just roar into anything.
You're supposed to say before you pack it all away, somewhat of a eulogy upon your own persistence. But life bears no promises, and words are doubting Thomas's, and Thumbelina's defenseless against your burning forest. Don't you know the time is a window to your soul? You might think you're fired, but you might as well just roll into any digging. Destiny, when you're 6 feet under.